Okay, new recording. It's recording.
Okay, state your name.
Haley Walker.
Okay, and where do you live?
We live 4 miles west and 1 mile north of Ashland.
Okay, how old are you?
I'm 34.
Okay, when did you first become aware that there was a fire that was known as the Starbuck Fire? Now we just call it the fire.
It was approximately 1:30 in the afternoon on March the 6th. I had just dropped my daughter off at school and saw my parents go through town with their Polaris Ranger on the trailer. But that was really odd for them to be in Ashland with the Ranger at that time of day. So I followed them to the co-op gas pumps and asked them what they were doing. And they said they were headed over to help my aunt and uncle and my cousin, Mark and Mary Kottenbach and Kyle Kottenbach, move cows because they at that time were maybe in danger of the fire.
So when did your daughter get released from school?
They got released, I think. It was approximately 3:30, maybe. I really don't know. As soon as I saw my parents, I called my husband to see what his location was, and he, too, was going to get his Ranger and go help move cows over near the Inglewood area at Mark and Mary and Kyle Kottenbach's. And he said to just kind of be on standby. He takes care of cattle southeast of Ashland for Barrett Brody. And then we had a few head of yearlings, but most of them were on, or all of them were on wheat pastures, so we knew they were should hopefully be safe. But he said to be on standby in case we needed to go start moving Barrett's cows off of Barrett's grass. So at that point, I just started taking kind of mental notes of where all our belongings were, since we live 4 miles west of town, and at that time the fire was southwest of Inglewood, and so depending on which way the wind shifted, I knew I needed to be either at our house or at Barrett's cows to start moving them off of grass.
So when did you hear about the fire in the north?
I left town approximately 2:33 o'clock and started moving. I went to my grandmother's house first, which is southeast of town a few miles. She was in Arizona, so I started her yard sprinkler, again, just in case. We had no idea what was about to happen. Then I went and got in some team rope and steers that we had there on her grass and put them in her corral. And then I went to Barrett's and started moving cows off of grass and putting them on wheat. And when we got done with that, that was kind of a large ordeal. There were several heads of different bunches of cows to move, and it was just kind of funny. Not funny, but as I was moving cows to wheat, the smoke in the west just kept getting darker and darker and obviously closer and closer to me, not having any idea of where the fire was. I kept moving cows. Eventually, my husband got there, Dustin, and then my brother Jewel helped as well. We got all of Barrett's cows on wheat. The final bunch that we moved, by the time we got them on wheat, I'd say our visibility was maybe a quarter mile. The smoke was so thick. And when I started that task, you know, the fire was miles and miles away, and I could barely see the smoke. So just in a matter of time, our visibility went from clear as day to maybe a quarter mile.
So were you doing this moving cattle with horses or with the four-wheelers?
I was in a pickup at that point, and then
did you use horses
We never used horses. I went from, instead of going home from town, I went south of town and just got my I had a car, and I got my grandmother's pickup and moved the rope and steers, and then I started moving Barrett's cows with my grandmother's pickup, and then which isn't a cake wagon. It's not in that. I mean, it's just a regular bed pickup. And so I had a hard time moving cows with that. But when my brother got there, he was there before my husband, and he had a cake pickup. And they would follow the caker a lot easier than they were going with the other pickup. But we, and then Dustin got there with his pickup as well, and we just moved as fast as we could. It was a little chaotic, but we got it done.
So did you ever go home?
After we got that task completed, I, by the grace of God, got a phone call from the command center. Becky Mishler asked me where my grandmother was, and she said, "Is your grandmother home?" I said, "No, she is in Arizona." And I said, is the fire getting close to there?" And she said, "No, we're just trying to locate and make sure we have a head count on everybody and make sure we know where all the people are." And I asked if they could tell me where the fire was, and they weren't 100% sure, but thought that it was near Kiger Creek at that point. And I'm about roughly 4 or 5 miles from Kiger Creek, and the wind's blowing, I don't know, 50 mile an hour. So I was south of town still at that point, not far from Barrett's place, and I basically just started rounding my army. By the grace of God, my cousin Bryce was in town at the vet clinic getting a horse. So he had his trailer and went to our house and caught our horses for us. Called my in-laws. Bill and Darletta McLaughlin came to our house, and we just started loading up whatever we thought was valuable from the house. We loaded grandmother's pickup, Darletta's car, a horse trailer, my cousin's pickup, with all everything, saddles, whatever we could find that was valuable. And at that point is when I guess I knew the fire from the north was coming. I could see the smoke at that point.
Do you know what time that was?
I'm going to guess, if I can recall correctly, it was around probably 6, 7 o'clock maybe. I don't really know for sure. When we got all of our stuff loaded, and it, thankfully, I guess to back that up, the fire was not at Kiger Creek, or we would have really been unfortunate. But it was coming from the north at that point, and I could definitely see the smoke. And we kind of loaded all our stuff up, and then we just kind of all stood and looked at each other, wondering what to do next. At that point, the fire was coming pretty hard from the north, and we thought that Jeff and Katrina Cryer and Garth and Amanda Gardner would be the next most at-risk houses. So my husband, Dustin, and then Bryce and Bill all took their vehicles and ended up at Jeff and Katrina's and got a horse out of there, and then all of their tack. And then my mother-in-law and I just sat in our yard at our house and watched it, and eventually we could see not just the smoke but the flames, and it was probably a quarter, half a mile away from our house, and we thought if the wind changed directions we would be in trouble. So we decided at that point to go ahead and leave our house, and we went over to the Inglewood Junction and just kind of decided to wait it out.
So how did you feel thinking that your house might not be there when you came back?
When I left the driveway, well, whenever I left town and started gathering cows, I started videoing, thinking, not knowing what was going to happen the rest of the day, but just I wanted documentation of what the chaos and the fear felt like. And so I started filming just little snippets of stuff when I was moving cattle. And whenever I left my driveway,
it is emotional. It really is.
When I left the driveway, I took a video of, I could see the flames on top of the hill, and I
were they close?
Yeah, they weren't close to us. I think what's so hard is that there's a little bit of shame, I think, that when I was videoing, I was praying that the wind wouldn't change directions because I knew we would be safe if it didn't. But as soon as that came out of my mouth, I mean, in that same breath, I realized I was praying that my neighbor's house would be gone. And
yeah, that's kind of So you basically evacuated from your house. And so you were safe at the Englewood Junction? There was no fire coming up that way anymore? It was all had all gone east?
Yes. Yep. In fact, when I got to the Englewood Junction, Katrina and Gus were sitting in their car, and she got out and came over to talk to me. I said, Katrina, she says, Haley, I didn't grab anything out of the house. And I said, you need to go. Go back to your house right now. And she says, but I can't. They got the highway shut down. And I said, I don't care, Katrina. If you see fire, you turn around and come back. But if your house is still there and you can get into it, you go right now. Otherwise, and I looked at her and I said, but you need to be prepared for what you're about to see. Because while I was telling her to go, at the same time, I didn't even know if her house was still going to be there.
Yeah, because it was moving pretty fast, wasn't it?
It was crazy.
Did you see the big dark cloud of smoke that came across? Is that what you were seeing when you were still down at your grandma's?
Yes. Yeah. Yes. And, yeah, I mean, the whole, you couldn't even, like, when I came to town to go to my house, it was like the Dust Bowl. I mean, you couldn't hardly even see. The smoke was just thick everywhere. When we were sitting at the Englewood Junction, my husband still hadn't come. Bryce eventually came, and Bill came.
So how are you keeping in contact with all of those people?
Our cell phones were still
working?
Still working and charged at that point. And I really think about 10 o'clock or maybe even later, 11, midnight, I don't know. We all looked at each other and it was like, I guess we better find some place to go for the night. Like, this isn't going to end. Like, we assumed, I assumed I would just go back to my house. When the fire came through, I'd go back and we'd unload. But I mean, it didn't take us very long to realize that that wasn't going to be the case, that this was going to be a long night.
There's still fire all around your house?
Yes.
In the area? So yes. Where'd you end up going?
We decided to go to Coldwater via Mineola, because that's where my kids were, with my mom and my sister-in-law, Heidi and Kelly Hazen. And we headed north, and my mom called and said, no, turn around and go to Kyle's. They're going to come down there. And so we turned around, Bryce and I was with Bryce at that point with my horses. Bryce and I went to Kyle's, and whenever I got out of the pickup to unload my horses, somebody told me that they had, sorry to hear about that your house is gone. And I said, oh, is that the word on the street, is that my house is officially gone? And he said, well, that's what I heard. I said, okay. So I took my horses and
went to Kyle's.
Yep.
You stay there all night? Did you go out during the night? Or did you go to bed?
Bryce went ahead and dropped me and the horses off, and he went on to Coldwater. That's where his kids and his wife was. And I stayed at Kyle's for quite a while until Dustin eventually was able to get back to our house and said it indeed was still standing. And so I said, come and get me right now. I want to see it.
Yeah.
So
where'd he been all this time?
Really not sure. he went to Jeff's and helped Jeff for a while. And I don't know where he went after that until he came to me. I think he went back to Barrett's and my grandmother's, Carolyn Degnan's and then Barrett's, to make sure that, I guess, her house was still there and that there's anything that he could do. Eventually, he came and got me. We went to our house first, and it was still there, but the fire was still all around. We went on to Barrett's to make sure the cows were all still okay.
So when you say the fire's all around, are you seeing big flames jumping? Are you seeing just little flames? Or are you seeing smoke? Or
at that point, it was just mostly the back burn. Like, the head of the main fire had already gone through, but the back burn was in some CRP grass, and so it looked big.
The wind still blowing?
Yes. I mean, it was I can't recall exactly what time. We had been there several times through the night. We went from our house to my grandmother's house to Barrett's to my brother Jules, just to kind of make sure there's nothing else we could do to help fight it. We didn't have a water trailer. We just...
Were you at Sitka when the big flames were jumping on the elevator?
No, we got there. We went down the Sitka dirt road, and the fire was already to the railroad ties. So it kind of passed, went through the Sitka area, and it was burning the huge pile of railroad ties, which is...
On the south side?
The south side of the old restaurant, which is basically directly west of my brother's driveway. So, needless to say, he was not out of the...
Fire.
Yeah, out of the fire, out of... It was out of definitely danger. Not out of danger. He was definitely not out of danger. He was definitely still at risk. I mean, at one point earlier that night, the fire had jumped the highway, but he was right there waiting on it and had a water trailer and put it out. And now the huge railroad tie pile was burning, which was, I mean, the flames were, in my opinion, huge. And so it would have taken nothing for an ember to fly across the highway, and his house would have been up in no time. So he was standing guard, and we went and kind of checked on him. At one point, we went back to our house. The fire, you said that how big were the flames, and when the flames to me were big, I mean, they weren't huge, but they were big, and I told Dustin, we've got to call for a truck, like, we are not going to make it out of this.
So when you say, like, jumping as high as the ceiling over here, were they that tall, or were they taller?
Oh, I'd say 20, 30 feet.
Yeah.
Because the CRP grass was, you know, old dead grass, and so it was big.
Yeah.
We didn't call for a truck because we knew we couldn't.
We could, but nothing was
coming. I mean, they're everywhere. It kind of felt selfish, I don't know, to call for one, but I knew they were doing everything they could do. We left again, went back to my grandmother's, same thing. She's surrounded by grass. Well, of course, our house is too, but and hers is a lot of CRP, and so she had, again, the head of the fire had gone through, and a lot of people had helped save her place, and when we got there, the CRP was kind of back burning, and it was, again, big flames, 20, 30 feet high. Eventually went back to our house again, and when we topped the hill at our driveway, I thought the fire was climbing up our garage, and I was telling Dustin he was not driving fast enough. And we got there, and it was not in our garage. It was just in our yard. And we didn't have electricity, so he grabbed a bucket and ran to the windmill, which is 50 yards away from the house. And then I grabbed an old heavy winter coat and just started beating the flames. And with his bucket, we got it put out in our yard. So,
did they come foam your house? Do you know if the fire trucks were ever there?
We certainly do not think they were ever there, but not the night of March 6th. Well, early morning of March 7th. We got there about 5:30, I think, when the fire was in our yard.
Mm-hmm.
And it certainly did not feel or smell or look like it had been foamed.
Yeah, so you didn't really sleep all night?
We did not. No, when we... We also got little yard sprayers and put out hot spots in our pasture. There's a pasture not too far from the house. We put out the hot spots in that pasture. And then looking back, we kind of laughed. I mean, not laughed, but when we were doing it, we were taking turns because we were both cold. But the adrenaline, we just kept going. And so he would sit in the pickup for a little bit, and I would spray, put out hot spots. And then I would sit in the pickup, and he would do it. And we just did it. We didn't think anything of it. And we got all of ours put out, and we got in the pickup to go to my grandmother's, thinking we would potentially find her house in flames. We didn't know what we were going to find, but we were going to take what water we had and do what we could. And when we got in the pickup to leave, Dustin said, look and see how cold it is. And so I looked on my phone. It was 28 degrees, and that was about 5:30 the morning of March 7th.
And no coats?
No coats. I don't even think we... I think we had short sleeve shirts on. I don't know, but yeah.
So did you ever go to bed?
No. We took about a 30-minute nap, I think, about 8:30 the next morning. And then,
at your house or your grandma's?
We actually ended up staying at my mother-in-law's, Darletta and Bill McLaughlin's. My kids were at that point in Dodge with my mom. They went from Coldwater to Dodge to put my brother and sister-in-law's horses away there, and they just got a motel room there and stayed the night. So we slept for, I think, about 30 minutes that next morning, and then went and gathered up all of our stuff at the Englewood Junction and got my kids back.
Yep. So then, how about, did you help the cotton balls up north of town?
Well, we were not able to get that far. The next day, I kind of just stood guard at our house. My husband got the Ranger, his Ranger, and kind of, again, went and just checked Barrett's stuff, and then wherever he can help. I think he helped Bill Seacat move some cows, and then he ended up at Protection, and he was headed to, I think, his grandma, Gracie McLaughlin's area, and he saw smoke by John Hurd's and called John to see if John needed help, and sure enough, he was trying to move cows. And this John Hurd lives 3 miles northwest of Protection, and Dustin went and helped, and they got cows moved, I think, just in the nick of time before the fire went through there.
So Tuesday, you're just at home by yourself.
I was at home by myself. Thankfully, Dar took the girls, and Bill brought me a four-wheeler, and I had, somehow, I don't really still understand why or how I still had fire in my area, because I kind of thought the fire had gone through there, but I had Colorado forestry trucks in and out of my driveway all day, basically. And then
Wednesday? Tuesday.
The 7th, whatever day that was.
Tuesday.
And then I just, we had, like, we have evergreen trees west of our house, and I had lots of hot spots in there. I don't think it would have gone anywhere, but I wasn't leaving it to come back and find if it had. So
yes.
I just kind of watched all of that and made sure that we were going to be okay.
So you had the horses at home then?
They were still at Kyle's.
At Kyle's.
We had, all of our trailers were tied up with a bucket cap and tack and all kinds of random stuff, so I had no way of really going to get our horses yet.
So you took care of them. Okay, so then, when did you finally feel that it was safe to stay at home and go get your stuff?
We didn't have electricity until, I don't even remember, 3 or 4 days maybe? I remember, it must have been on the afternoon of the 7th, I started seeing if I could track down a generator, because I wasn't sure when we would have electricity back, and I didn't want to lose all of our meat in our freezer. So I think maybe the morning of the 8th, I was headed to get a generator, and I think we got electricity not long after that. So I think it must have been the night of the 8th, we must have gone back to our house.
What's your most vivid memory of the fire?
Probably the time that I topped that hill and thought the fire was coming up our garage. I thought the garage was in flames. Just that, when we topped that hill and saw that fire, it was just the realization that it was that close.
Yep. Do you remember any other wildfires? Have you ever been involved with any?
Wildfires? I mean, I remember growing up, my dad would always had his 1,500-gallon tank that he would haul water to wheat pasture. I mean, he always had that rigged up with a motor on it, so whenever there was, he could go haul water to the fire trucks. But I was never involved with them, but I mean, just knowing that they were around, I guess.
Did you ever think this fire would get this big?
Never.
What was your first feelings when you saw that north fire?
Shock. I couldn't even like put words to it, and almost still can't, because it was just like, wait a second, where did this come from? Like, we were supposed to be worried about the one from the south. Like, now there's another one, and then it was just, and another one, and another one. I remember at one point, was talking to my mom on the phone and not jokingly said, "Mom, I think the world is coming to an end." Like, I mean, I was serious. I really thought something was going down. It was not good. There was fire everywhere.
Couldn't escape it at all.
And it felt like it was everywhere. It just, yeah.
So do you remember the temperature shift?
I don't. I don't remember. I don't know when that happened. I just remember thinking, gosh, we are cold. And then Dustin said, well, check the temperature and see how cold it is.
Yeah.
And by the time we got to my grandmother's, which was, I don't know, 15 minutes, if that, the hoses on our little yard sprayers were frozen. So we just dumped water on the little fire that we had.
Yeah. So who were some of the people or agencies that were most helpful?
Probably the people. Everybody. I mean, every person that helped in any way was the most helpful. I mean, it took absolutely everybody and everybody's efforts. Mike Harden helped save my grandmother's house and did a, you know, tremendous job with the town work. Scott Pike, I think, was kind of like an angel in the night. I mean, he had showed up at Barrett's to help there for a little bit, and then later on, like months later, I found out that he had helped at my grandmother's house, and I just thought, where in the world did he come from, and how did he know where to be at the right time? But I mean, it just took absolutely everybody, and whatever that person could do, it helped.
Did you end up doing any volunteer work with anybody else, or was it mainly taking care of your own
stuff? Mainly taking care of our own stuff. It was between my mom and dad, my grandmother's place, our place, and my brother's place. There was a lot of damage control that had to take place, and thankfully, I mean, we are very fortunate. We only lost grass. Dust and I only lost grass and, you know, damage to the fences.
No cattle.
We did not lose any cattle. They were all on wheat, so we are very, very fortunate.
So what was the physical toll?
About a week or so after the fire, I don't think Dustin and I really ever talked or hardly even seen each other for a while there, but about a week after, I said, "Man, Dustin, I feel like I've been aged 5 years." And he kind of looked at me, he chuckled, he's like, "Try 15 or 20. And I was just like, "Yeah, you're right."
So what'd your kids think of the fire? Do they have any memories, or were they completely gone, or do they ask about it?
They mostly just, like, the little one, she was only 11 or 13 months, so she doesn't really have any memories or can't express that. JC is 4, and she talks about, whenever you talk about the fire, immediately she says, "Raina bit me." Her little sister bit her twice that night. Just, I think, all the emotions are raw, everybody's stressed out. I think the 13-month-old was probably hungry and wanted to eat, so unfortunately she bit her sister. But
yeah.
JC also, in the days after the fire, we prayed a lot. And every time we sat down to eat, we naturally pray. And so every time we don't just say our prayer at mealtime, but JC would say, "Mom, can we please pray for the people that lost their houses in the fire?" And of course we can do that, JC. So now at random times she will say, "Mom, can we pray for the people that lost their houses in the fire?" I said, "Yeah, I think we should pray for everybody else that was affected by the fire too." So that's kind of, I think, what she connects to it, is that her sister bit her and that we need to pray for the people.
Pretty good deals. So are you doing something, or have you done something to prepare in case there's another fire? Or
I think just the little things, such as like knowing what your belongings are. Like when you stop and when you're in the moment, you don't know what to grab. Like you think your lives are the most valuable and you can't really think much beyond that. And so I said, grab the guns and the diamonds, which we don't have a lot of guns and we certainly don't have a lot of diamonds, but those are the things I knew I wanted.
Yeah.
And beyond that, I didn't know what to grab. So we grabbed, you know, baby books and pictures that we had printed. You know, thankfully today we have technology, but I think that's the biggest thing, is like knowing when you have to grab stuff to go, you know what you want to take. Like that's the bare minimum you can do. Beyond that, like ranch management wise, I think it's just good to be thinking about what fire breaks that you can put in place, or know where you can go with cattle and how to move those cattle quickly.
Where your resources are.
Yes.
Yep. I thought of something else a while ago. Is there any positive things that you perceive have come out of this fire?
There has been a lot of positive things. Relationships have been mended. The country has aided in our need. I mean, the whole entire ag community, and not just the ag, I think people in general, just the whole entire country has answered the call of supporting our community and in our little county, in the panhandles, in the Texas and Oklahoma too. Just that there's still good in a lot of people out there, that there's a lot of positive out of this tragic.
So did you learn about people that you could rely on that you didn't know you could before?
Yeah, I mean, I think we all know who our friends are and who we can rely on, but I think even there's hidden heroes that you never even thought that would be there are there. And I don't know, people just let their issues go and help.
So on Monday, do you remember seeing any fire trucks?
And tell me what the date was on Monday. I don't remember.
March 6th.
On March 6th, did I see any fire trucks?
Because they were all down in the southwest part of the county, in Meade and Inglewood and probably south down.
I honestly don't remember.
Are the first ones you saw were the Colorado ones that came?
I hadn't really thought about that, but I mean, I think in that night when we were all over that night, I saw all the flashing lights of, I'm assuming were fire trucks. But actually, I mean, with my own eyes, saw the truck probably, yeah, that next day. And we had local guys. That next day, it was just me and the two girls at our house. I thought I could manage the two girls by myself and stand guard at our house.
Right.
And I had a little hot spot in some places that hadn't burnt yet. And so that kind of made me nervous because, again, it was like 50 yards from the house. And I called then to the command center to ask if I could have a truck, and they sent a local guy. So we had local people in and out, and then we had the forestry guys.
So how close did it get to your house? Do you have a lot of burn north of you, or
to the north of my house? It probably was a quarter mile. To the east of my house, about the same. South of my house, 20 yards. The back burn, it burnt up into our yard. I mean, it came within 10 feet of the porch, but our grass was so short, I think, in the yard that it wasn't too much of a risk. On the west side of my house, 20, 30 yards, and that was, I mean, it burned a lot of grass right through there.
So have you had a lot of fence to fix?
Lots of endless fencing. Good quality time with my husband.
Did you have volunteers come help tear fence out?
There has been many volunteers. Yeah, lots of new friendships built too. Another positive that's come out of this is,
do you know where they're from?
We've had a family come from the Concordia area. Mm-hmm. Still stay in contact with them through Facebook. My brother had a family come from Alabama. He had some volunteers from Alabama. Still in contact with them through Facebook. Illinois, Iowa. I think that's about the end of what has been directly helped Dustin and my brother. Maybe Jules had a lot more than that, but what I've met.
Did your dad have some from Canada?
My dad has had many. I think, you know, I really haven't had, my mom and dad and I, we really haven't talked a lot about the fire, because I mean, they've been so busy with their, you know, damage control just has not allowed us really to talk a lot about how it's impacted one another. But he's had a lot of volunteers and a lot of touching stories, I think, come from his experiences too, which is great.
So what's the biggest thing that you remember out of the fire altogether?
The biggest thing altogether. Just pray and do what you can. You just have to pray for safety and your neighbor's safety and do what you can to fight it. Because if you don't do what you can, then the next guy's got to do what they can and might be bigger at that point.
Have you ever heard of a fire like this before?
No. I mean, the Anderson Creek fire, which was, a year ago, mm-hmm. Was awful, and it didn't even impact me directly, but I mean, I just remember thinking how awful that was for them and what can we do to help them, and then never imagined it was going to happen to us just a year later.
So, hey, do you have any other thoughts about this experience that you'd like to share?
It's not a matter of if it's going to happen again, it's a matter of when it's going to happen again and what can we do to be ready for it. Because we know it's going to do it again.
Yes, indeed. So thank you for taking the time to come and give an interview and tell us your story. We appreciate it.
I appreciate your guys' efforts in gathering all the information.
Hopefully we get some. Thank you.
Yep.
Oh, that was good.